Hats of Faith is a new board book which celebrates the shared custom of head coverings in different faiths around the world. The book, written by Medea Cohen and illustrated by Sarah Walsh, aims to educate children about diversity and tolerance in a simple, endearing way, highlighting all the different types of hats with illustrations, accurate terminology, and phonetic pronunciations. Again, the name of the book is Hats of Faith, and to find out more, we welcome Medea Cohen to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
This is such a cool project. I first became aware of this when our friend Matt Tannenbaum from the bookstore in Lenox brought it in as a book pick, and I just thought it was the neatest thing. So tell me, for those who are not familiar, what the idea was here of creating a board book talking about head coverings of the world and how that came to you.
I wanted to buy it. I'm not really a writer, so I wanted to find that book. We are big readers in my house, and I have a 2.5-year-old son, and, you know, we have all manner of books about superheroes with anger management problems and kids with two dads and all sorts. And this was a gap in our collection, and we actually live in London, England, and Glasgow, Scotland, and we see really diverse groups of people wearing all different kinds of head coverings, and it was important to me that when my son did that amazing thing that children do where they point at someone about 3 inches away and shout, "What is that?" that I had the right answer. And there was just nothing out there. I did a lot of research, and I felt like it needed to exist. And I had a friend who was a publisher of Muslim children's novelty books, and she completely goaded me into it, and I naively took the bait and thought I could write a book. It's a children's book. There aren't that many words. Oh, how wrong I was.
So what were you naive about? What were the challenges in putting something like this together?
Well, I know why the book wasn't written before me, because it's a huge responsibility to even just dance with anything around faith. It's a very delicate matter, and it's right. Something people are very passionate about. And also to put something out that is accurate and factual. So this is not a religious book. This is a factual book, and it is, for me, it was about using proper terminology and phonetic pronunciations and accurate, bright illustrations that properly depict the way that these head coverings are worn. So to get it right, it was about a year of research, and we consulted with the head of religious costuming at the British Museum, rabbis, priests, you know, Islamic experts, people from every faith. I went to African church, we went to Sikh Gurdwara, everywhere. We consulted with everyone, even on skin tones. And it's that great, maybe Winston Churchill, maybe Mark Twain quote, "If I had more time, I would write a shorter letter." It takes a very long time to be concise,
right,
but still make big statements.
I love what the book says, and then I also love what the book doesn't say. So there, let's just look at the first picture here, saying this is a turban which many Sikh men wear. You have the pronunciation, the pronouncer for turban. You have that for all of the coverings. What I think is interesting is you identify the headwear. You do not identify any more than Sikh as to the religion and what that means.
Yeah, so that was a big moment of reality for me. We had an incredible advisor who is one of the top publishers of independent children's books in the UK. And we had a real, like, come to Jesus moment where she cut a lot of text out of the book, and I found it really difficult. But she was right. Getting into the complexities of why each person wears these head coverings and so on, those are very complex concepts for small minds. And it's too difficult to get into the minutiae of that. And also what it did was it differentiated each head covering. So instead of sort of, you know, the way it is now, it's very simple, but it also taking all those different reasons why people wear head coverings out meant that we could focus on that it's a shared custom across all Abrahamic faiths. At their core, all Abrahamic faiths wear head coverings. So that made it a uniting thing, which actually is how I consoled myself.
So you start off the book by saying many religious people share the custom of covering their heads to show their love for God. So that's the mission statement.
Yeah, I mean, this is really what unites us all, is respect and love for God, whether you cover your heads or not. But these people who do cover their heads, it's not just Muslims. We have a real focus on Muslim people covering their heads. Every faith, Christian, Catholic, everyone at their core has head coverings, specifically when they pray, but a lot of the time. And for women, it's about modesty and other things. But again, very complex concept for small people.
The research also, of course, I assume, like many of us, didn't know the differentiation, perhaps, of some of the various head coverings. So to go into that and say, okay, this is what differs this from that.
It was, we had to get specific in certain places. So for instance, the African head covering is, the head wrap is called many different things across Africa. Every country calls it a different thing, and within every country there are different tribes. So, you know, we had to make some compromises on things like that. And on the topi page, the Muslim man, that's specifically South Asian. There are many different head coverings called many different things. So we had to make choices about these things and divide between cultural versus faith-based and really make some clear division and choices.
The other thing that struck me, and this is what I love about the pronouncers, which I assume is probably more for the parents than it is for the children.
Yeah,
obviously.
Absolutely. I didn't want anyone to feel stupid when they read the book. I
right.
want you to be, this is as much an enlightening moment for a parent as it is for a child.
But most of them are very fun to say.
Yeah.
I mean, they're enjoyable for children to say and to learn. Shuni and Topi, that those are fun to on the tongue and just to say, and then of course to later identify.
Yeah, when I do school workshops, tikl is always everyone's favorite.
Yeah,
they're great for kids. They're really fun to say and they love it.
Which is Orthodox Jewish women wear, and the idea of the religions of. Was there anything at the end you say, oh, we forgot the dot, dot, dot?
I mean, I would have liked to have added burqas and niqabs, and there are other head coverings from lots of the faiths, but I didn't want it to get too specific into one faith. I wanted it to be a really nice spread across different things. So, I mean, we have plans to do other things, so we will bring them back. But by the end of getting 9 head coverings was a life-shortening experience, as it was getting them right.
What does that say about our culture, that it is so difficult to get that right?
Well, I mean, a lot of these are very ancient traditions.
Yes.
And a lot of, there's a lot of, well, firstly, the internet is riddled with mistruths and nonsense.
Of
so,
course.
You know, you have to bypass that. And a lot of these things are verbally handed down or, you know, the information is very gray between cultural, between faith, and different in every country. And so, you know, you're really trying to find something that is true, you know, unanimously the majority of a group agrees on something. And that is not an easy feat. I mean, we live in a world where it's hard to find the truth in simple things, let alone complex things.
Right. And I say this as a Catholic, sometimes we don't even know, we don't know enough about our own religion.
Oh, this was a journey of self-discovery for me. I'm Jewish. I was born Jewish. I'm not practicing. But I've always known that there was a tichel, but I didn't know what it was called.
Right.
So, you know, even for me, that was really the moment where I was like, oh, God, I have to learn this stuff so I can educate my son, or I'm just going to be one of those people, you know, who runs into someone wearing something beautiful and goes, I don't know, it's religious. Don't worry about it.
You just touched on something that I wanted to get to, too, is the idea that also these head coverings are beautiful.
Oh,
I mean, there's just a great beauty to them.
I have to give a shout out to our illustrator who is local.
Yeah.
Who's from Albany, Sarah Walsh. She's not here because she lives in Kansas City, Missouri. And Sarah and I have never met physically. We've only spoken on the internet. I stalked her and convinced her to work on this project with us. And she is just so talented and so amazing. And after speaking to her, we've become very good friends. But it turns out she's, you know, we live 45 minutes from each other. Me in Scotland, her in Kansas City. And it turns out we're both from the Berkshires.
That's really interesting. The idea, of course, at the end, and you say this at the end of the book, is being understanding helps us spread love and peace. And this idea about learning about each other obviously helps to that understanding.
Yeah, I mean, this book for me was about an early dialogue around diversity and really helping young children have a familiarity with these things. So when they see people, they can be respectful and they don't have fear, and that, you know, they grow up thinking this is completely normal and we're kind to each other and, you know, we don't see any differences. I think that would be a really nice end result.
The other thing, and maybe this is just obvious, but it opens up that dialogue between parent and child as to talk about these things, and not perhaps not just of hats of faith, but of other issues, of things they don't understand about other people that would allow that dialogue to take place that perhaps it wouldn't otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. And I am so supportive of that. I think, you know, we have a great responsibility as parents to educate ourselves so we can pass that on. And there's loads of incredible literature and publications around diversity at the minute, you know, off the back of Charlottesville and the hashtag Charlottesville curriculum and the call for diversity education curriculum. Bates University have put together an incredible list of diverse publications and all different kinds of books for children. And I think it's such an important thing that we as parents take the time to search them out and take the time to educate ourselves. And on our website, we list loads of references, loads of different recommended readings that people can beef up on so they can help their children. And we have lots of downloadable teaching tools to make it easy for teachers and homeschoolers to build it into their lesson plans. So I'm all about that.
This is a business question, but given that this is a foreign publisher and you live in London, is it at all easier, has it been easier to get this book into stores elsewhere in the world compared to the United States?
Well, I have this incredible, very pushy head of U.S. sales, AKA my mother, who's in Berkshire County, hawking this book and getting it in front of anyone who will look at her. So actually, you know, it's the grandmother mafia who's been scooping this up and spreading it all over the world and sending it to grandchildren, which is lovely in the States. It's available in the States. But I think in the UK, these, you know, certainly when I do school workshops in the UK, those kids know. They know what a hijab is. They know a lot of these head coverings because they see them. But so the answer is yes, that it has a wide appeal and that people are more familiar with them and it's not anywhere near as, you know, untapped a sort of topic. But here I think people recognize the need and they're excited by it. So it is starting to gain momentum in the U.S.
You mentioned the website. What's the website?
Hatsoffaith.com.
Hatsoffaith.com. That is the name of the book as well, Hats of Faith, and it is absolutely beautiful. It's written by Medea Cohan and illustrated by Sarah Walsh, and the book is published by Shade 7 Publishing. Hatsoffaith.com to find out more information. Medea, thank you so much for sharing with us, and best of luck with a really lovely and important project.
Thank you very much, and I just want to let you know that the book is available at the Berkshire Museum, at both Guido's in Great Barrington and Lenox, and the bookshop in Lenox, and I'll be doing a workshop soon locally.
Excellent. It's Hats of Faith, written by Medea Cohan. Thank you very much for being
Thank
with
you.
Us. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.